Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
I wanted to start this morning by really sharing a scripture that will sort of tee up the message as to how some words that God spoke to me about us planting here in Tauranga, which applies to all of us today. And the scripture comes to us out of the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament that God used in great ways to speak through him to encourage the nation of Israel in some highs and some lows in their lives. And we pick up the story in Jeremiah 32, and this is where the people of Israel had been. They'd been living in the promised land, the land that God had given to them. But they had, due to their unfaithfulness to God, they'd been exiled from that land, and they found themselves scattered around the place. And this is where God steps in, and he speaks through Jeremiah in his mercy, because he desires relationship with his people, and he still desires relationship with you and I today. And so we're going to read this, and remember, this is God speaking to his people at the time. But as I said, there were some things out of the scripture that I really felt God encourage us here in Tauranga. And so it comes to us out of Jeremiah 32. And the words go, "I will surely gather them from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath." That was the Lord talking about removing Israel from the land into exile. He says, "But I will bring them back to this place and let them live in safety." He goes on to say, "They will be my people and I will be their God." Isn't that an encouraging line? "I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me, and that all will then go well for them and for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all of my heart and soul." And I think there's some pretty encouraging words in there. And when I read that, and I just really felt those words of that last line stick off the page to me, that God was wanting to plant us in Tauranga with all of his heart and his soul. And it's been such a great encouragement to Briar and I, and to us as we've gone on this journey, that God is planting us with his heart and with his soul. And I'm being reminded as this journey unfolds, as we learn, as we grow, that God has a plan for us to be planted in this land and to do good works that he has designed for us. And the cool thing is today is that we all get to be part of that. And so we are taking time to obviously thank God for the last 2 years, but also look ahead and declare that our best days are still to come. We are going to continue to plant in this city, and today we're simply going to take a look at how we do that as a church. You know, I'm so thankful that we are part of a church that isn't just starting from the floor, but we actually are building on a foundation of 32 years as Life. Thankful to Pastor Paul and Marie, who planted 32 years ago, and the generations and the faithfulness of people that have gone before us to be even sitting in this movie theater today. I think it's so amazing. And as a church, it has always been our mission and our vision, and it will always be to impact and change our generation with the reality of Jesus. And so today I'm going to talk about how we do that. And one of those ways is we have four key values as a church, which we're going to talk about a bit more in depth today. Have a look at the Bible, have a look at some stories about these four values that we're going to use to continue to build his church in Tauranga, to see it go from strength to strength and to give glory to God. So today we're simply talking about our four core values of a church. And as I was preparing as well, I was reminded that these aren't just four values of our church, but these can be looked at as four traits or characteristics of a Jesus follower. You know, that's what we've been talking about this year. We are followers of Jesus. And so we're going to discuss that today, which I'm excited for. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into it. Lord, we just thank you for 2 years of your faithfulness, Father. And Lord, we just want you to receive all the glory, as we've already said today, Lord. Thank you for every person that you've brought together in community, Lord, to worship you and praise you. Thank you, Jesus, that you've called us to be your body here on earth, the body of Christ, the church. Lord, and today we come under your word and we look to you and we thank you that you have a plan for us, Jesus. That as we look to your word, as we follow you, as we follow who you are, that you are going to continue to establish us and plant us in this city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Well, our four values of our church. And the first one, of course, is the most important. And that is simply we magnify Jesus. We magnify Jesus. That can also be said like we commit to living his way. You know, the church is built on the foundation of Jesus, and God willing, will always continue to be built on the foundation of Jesus. And at the start of this year, Pastor Luke, he set a vision and direction for the year. If you've been coming along for a little while now, you would have heard this, but coming around these three simple words, teachings of Jesus himself, these three words that are, come, follow me. An invitation for every person who would believe in Jesus to follow Jesus, to become more like him, and to create followers of him, to become disciples. But I hope you've also heard that it's not just the 2023 thing. No, we're not going to click over into 2024 and then that's off the page. Following Jesus is a Christian thing. Following Jesus is what we do. Following Jesus is why we come to church, and it will always, always be. And I'm excited about that. I've got a friend, and his name is Oscar. And I met Oscar last year. Briar and I, we'd just moved into our home. And as you do at that time, when you're moving house, how many like to use the opportunity to declutter a little bit, get rid of some stuff you don't need? And so we're selling a few things on Trade Me. And one day, this guy comes around to pick up something that we'd sold him on Trade Me. And this tall, striking, good-looking man walks in. And I was like, oh, hello, sir. Nice to meet you. And, you know, we started having a chat. Straight away, I picked up on his foreign accent. And I asked him, oh, whereabouts are you from? And he said, I'm from Iceland. And I said, oh, I don't meet many Icelandic people in Tauranga. What brought you to Tauranga? And he said to me, oh, my wife and I are pastors here of a church. And I said, no way. So we obviously clicked straight away. Just like that, we started chatting. We exchanged details. And ever since then, Oscar and I, we meet for coffee every month. In fact, I met with him this Thursday, and we had a great time together, chatting about life, chatting about church, about everything that takes place. And the reason I chose to do this was with Oscar is because I picked up straight away that Oscar is someone who magnifies Jesus. That in our conversations, you know, we'd be talking about challenges, triumphs, whatever it is, Oscar has the ability to often bring in stories from the Bible, bring in different perspectives, bring in a great thought around what it is we're talking about. And it has inspired me and challenged me to go deeper in my faith, to look at how I'm following Jesus and how I'm magnifying him to others, just the way that Oscar is. You know, the reality is, if you do follow someone close enough, if you spend a lot of time with them, you'll start to pick up on their characteristics, their actions, their thoughts, the things they say and they do. And that's what I'm trying to do with Oscar. Like I said, he's a great-looking man. I hope I can be that good-looking when I'm 50 years old. He's got the grey slick back hair. He's got the mean outfit on. No, just jokes. It's obviously the spiritual side. But it got me thinking this week that isn't that true in our relationship with Jesus? That the more time we can spend with him, which is what we've been talking about this year, as we spend time with Jesus, as we go on this journey with Jesus of being in relationship with him, getting to know him through his word, through community with other people, we have the ability to become more like him in our day to day, which I believe gives us the ability to magnify him to others. And Jesus teaches us in his famous Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and I'm going to read these awesome words to us today. They're so encouraging. He says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket, but instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I love that Jesus himself, who is the light, was encouraging his disciples at the time and encourages us today that we can be the light of the world. He was teaching them, just as the light shines, so are we to let our good deeds, our good works shine, not so that we can receive the glory, but so that the Heavenly Father, God, can receive the glory. And man, that is my heart for us as the church in the city of Tauranga, as we continue to follow Jesus, as we continue to look to Him, we continue to become more like His character and magnify Jesus to others. We magnify Jesus. Our second value is we prioritize people. We magnify Jesus and we prioritize people. In other words, we commit to honoring others. You know, many of us will know these famous words of Jesus Himself in the New Testament when He is asked the question, Jesus, what do you think the most important commandment is? And He gives us this simple response, and He says, the first most and most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But the second is equally like this, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe what Jesus was saying in that moment was that we would love God, that we would magnify Him in everything that we do, and secondly, we would make people a priority in our lives, no matter what. I love this, again, teaching of Jesus. This is the parable of the lost sheep where He teaches us in Matthew 18. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? If he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. And in the same way, it is not my Heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. I love this teaching because it shows Jesus' heart for every person, that just as a shepherd cares for his sheep, so are we called to care for others. And one of the great ways that we do that here at Life as we continue to build this community is simply in our groups that happen throughout the week and also in our teams that come together on a Sunday to be part of church. And these groups and these teams, they exist really for people to be connected to the body of Christ, for an environment of discipleship to be created, for pastoral care to be enabled where we can look after one another and encourage one another, and ultimately to build the body of Christ. And one of my favorite stories from the last 2 years, looking back over the highlights and the great things that God has done, is an amazing woman in our campus by the name of Jules. Many of you will know her. And I've asked if I can use her story this morning, which she gladly said yes to because she loves sharing it. And Jules was invited to church just over a year ago by another amazing woman in our church, Bridget Oates College, by the way, guys. And Bridget brought Jules along to church, and man, amazing. Jules, she connected with Jesus. She gave her heart to Him, and she started this amazing relationship with Jesus. And the coolest thing about this story that Jules would tell you is before that day, Jules had been living in Tauranga for about 6 years, and she said she had absolutely no friends, that she felt isolated, she felt alone. But when she came into the house of God, when she came into community, when she joined a group, that she started to, her life started to grow and expand, and she found care and love and support for her life that she had honestly never felt before. And this is why we do what we do. It's the Jules stories. It's the multiple other stories that take place week in, week out across our church, that people can come into a place where they go, man, I feel a sense of belonging. I feel loved. I feel looked after. That's what we do, church. That's what we do for each other. We prioritize people. And I think Jules's story is something that is just so encouraging for us today. And can I encourage you, if you aren't in one of these environments yet, to have a think about joining one of these environments. We've got great groups that happen across our city, across the week. We've got plenty of things to get involved in here on a Sunday. As we continue to build and establish in the city, we're going to need more people jumping on board saying, yep, God, I'm here to build your church as well. You know, life will always be a place where you can belong, where any person can belong, no matter your age or stage or background or ethnicity or high school or whatever. This is a place that you can belong. You matter to us. And we see in the life and the teachings of Jesus that people were a priority to him. Therefore, they will always be a priority to us. So we magnify Jesus. We prioritize people. Thirdly, we choose excellence. Ooh, that's a big one. We choose excellence. I love this value. We commit to giving our best. I think this is such a unique value, but such an important one to who we are. You know, it can be so easy today to mix up excellence with perfection. And trust me, I've tried being perfect before, and I can tell you it doesn't work. My wife will tell you that. But, you know, in today's day and age, it can be so easy to chase after getting things right all the time. And I honestly think that can happen in our relationship with God. But that's one thing I'm so thankful for about our God, is we can come to him just as we are. We don't have to have everything all together. We don't have to be perfect. But what excellence is about saying, God, you deserve my best. I'm just going to try my best for you, God. And God, you know, the thing I love about our God is that he gave us his best in the Son, in the person of his Son, Jesus. And therefore, I think that's good enough excuse for us to give God our best. You know, recently I've been reading the book of Exodus in the Bible, which is one of my personal favorites. And the reason I love it so much is it tells this incredible story about God who rescues his people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt, and he leads them out of the nation of Egypt towards the land that he had promised to their ancestors. And we find this amazing account in the Bible and in the story where God chooses, this is sort of a statement moment in the Bible where God chooses to say, I'm going to come down and live with my people. And he leads his people physically through the desert towards the promised land. And there's a point where God gives the people and Moses the instructions to build what they call the tabernacle, which is effectively a temporary shelter or a temporary temple. And man, there's so much great detail in there. But what we're taking from it today is the thing I love most is the level of excellence and detail that God himself went to describe the building of the tabernacle. I don't know how many people have read Exodus or even Leviticus, but there's a lot of stuff in there. Amen. There's a lot of instruction. But the reason God gives this instruction, and I love it so much because I'm a details person myself, but God gives us instruction because he is a holy God coming to live on earth with his people. By our nature, we are unholy, and the people at the time had to meet with God on his terms. But the tabernacle, the everything involved in building it, demonstrates how holy, how awesome, how powerful, how majestic our God is from every single detail. And the story goes that the Israelites, they gave their best. They gave their gold, silver, jewels, fabric, timber, all these resources to build the tabernacle, because we have a God who is excellent by nature. And we pick up a short snippet of the story in Exodus 35, where it says, all whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle and for the performance of its rituals and for the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. I love that. And it goes on to say in the next verses that the people brought so many contributions that Moses had to tell them to stop. We've got more than enough to build the tabernacle. They knew that our God is excellent by nature. And what I love about this story is that the people understood that they were to give their best so that God could be honored and so that others may benefit from it as well. And that's my heart for us as a church in the city of Tauranga, that as we continue to give our best, do what we can, that God would be honored and that others may benefit from it, that we could create this place where others can come in and feel loved and see God's glory through everything that's taking place. And one of the things I've always loved about life is the attention to thought and detail that gets put into everything we do. And I experienced this in 2010 when I first stepped foot into Life Central in Auckland. And this, trust me, this isn't about bragging about what we do, but man, there is so much, it makes such a difference when you can come in where you can get a smile on the door, where you can get offered a tea and coffee, where you can be shown a seat and you can have a conversation by someone who's interested in you. You can worship God, you can hear a message, you can have an opportunity to connect with Him. The level of detail that goes into planning our kids program, even that the kids, they don't just get babysat on a Sunday, but they get taught about the goodness of who Jesus is. They get taught life values and principles and ways they can live their lives for Jesus. I just thank God for all of those details because they make such a difference. And the reason we do that is, and for me personally, it means that I love that church can be a place where people can come in and have their preconceived ideas, if they have any, of church flipped upside down, where they can meet a God who loves them and hear about a God who loves them and have their lives changed. This is why we do what we do. This is why we choose excellence. And I know that as we continue to establish in the city of Tauranga, as we do it by just giving God our best, say, God, I don't have it all together. I'm not perfect, but I'm choosing to give you my best because you gave me your best. Then God would be honored and others may benefit from it too. Sound good, church? Awesome. So we magnify Jesus, we prioritize people, we choose excellence, and our fourth value is that we activate generosity. This is a powerful one. We activate generosity. In other words, we commit to going the extra mile. Proverbs 11:25 encourages us. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And generosity is far more than what we can just do with our finances. I know it's often where we can go to in our minds, and that is a great way that we can be generous. We can partner together as a church financially in our offerings and in our expansion giving as well. But generosity in the life of a Jesus follower goes so much further beyond just finances. It's about being generous with our time, being generous with our attention, being generous with our love for others, just as our Lord and Savior Jesus was. And a highlight for us this year in Tauranga has been starting a brand new team that we call our Street Care team. And it was earlier this year that Briar and I received a great prophetic word from a friend of our church and a Holy Spirit nudge effectively to do something to meet the needs of people that are doing it tough on our streets around us here strategically in the CBD. And in March, we started a team that goes out on Sunday mornings before we start church here to bring help and hope, to bring a hot coffee and a smile and maybe a prayer if they can as well to the people doing it hard on our streets. And I'd love to take a couple of minutes to invite up my good friend Andrew this morning, who is one of our great leaders and oversees our Street Care team. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about a couple of highlights that we've had this year and how we are activating generosity in this area of church. So let's welcome Andrew this morning, church.
Thanks, Logan. Yep, so yeah, just to add to what Logan said, yeah, we noticed quite a few people doing it really tough on the streets, like literally outside our doors. So a few people here would have been on ushering or welcoming people, and there's a chap who we now know as Reese going through the rubbish bins every Sunday, and they've been right outside church. We had a guy in sort of March, April, you know, begging right off to where those movie posters are to the left. And so literally on our doorstep. And, you know, a few of us really felt compelled. We need to do something. And as Logan said, that I got an awesome word as well. And, yeah, so it started very organically. So what can we do? Let's just make some coffees, get some muffins from the supermarket. And so that was literally it. Let's just go out on a Sunday before church, two of us, and just go talk to people, offer a coffee and just get to know, offer prayer, let them know who we are, where we come from. And then just listen. So that's how it started, very organically, and it's been amazing. So over the last few months, and just a few little sort of highlights, so we've got to know and engage with around 40-plus people by name. So we're writing down names, praying, listening to their story, offering prayer, praying on the streets. We've had seven of those 40 come to church, which is really cool. Three made decisions, came forward for prayer. The team that goes out on Sunday mornings, awesome team. We've grown to eight, and so we go out in twos every Sunday. So great team of people, and often not even on Sundays. I mean, they're going out Wednesday nights, lunchtimes, taking meals. This is not just a Sunday thing. Like, these people are incredible. We've got an awesome baking team now who bakes fresh baking every Sunday. And I tell you what, to see the smiles and the eyes light up when you give some of these chaps some fresh baking and a hot coffee, it's just amazing. So that's a little bit. And we've also had some incredible generosity as well from just other people within the church. And so we had a great barbecue organised by one of the life groups, which raised quite a bit of money, and all that money went towards putting together these care packs, socks and toothbrushes and all these little goodies, especially during winter, beanies. So they've all been handed out, bags as well. And so the one chap we chatted to, his bag had been stolen literally the night before, and so we could bless him with a bag filled with all sorts of goodies and things. So really, really cool. And amongst lots of other stuff, I think, we had so much stuff donated. I mean, the back of the Hoyts building here, we had a whole lot of just pillows and duvets, and so people have been so generous within the church, and that's, I mean, the value has just been amazing. Yeah, so really cool. And I'll just like to finish with one story, which has been a highlight for me. And so there was a young lady we met called Jonina, and so we went out on the one Sunday morning, and it was freezing. Still the middle of winter, and she was sleeping right on the bottom of Devonport Road, just under a duvet blanket, just a young girl. And so we just stopped, and offered her a coffee, started chatting with her. Asked, is there anything we could do for her? And she said, oh, she needs a new blanket. And so what we did is we invited her and said, look, we've actually got a whole lot of blankets, we've got duvets, we've got a whole lot of stuff at church, so come along. And so she came with us, sat through the whole service, loved the worship, came forward for prayer at the end, gave her life to Jesus, which was amazing. And then we could literally go into the storehouse at the back, give her a new bag, a duvet, a pillow, a care pack, a whole lot of stuff. She was just all set up, and off she went. So meeting, I guess, the spiritual side, the physical need, just all of it. It was so good. And the church family's been amazing. And, because there is a tendency you could just sit back because, some of these guys, they come in, they smell, they they look like they've been on the street. But everyone has been amazing and really just engaged. So, just a quick testimony. So, so thanks, everyone. And if anyone has a heart for this ministry, come and talk to me. More teams, the better. There's such a need around here in the wider city. So, thank you.
Yeah, come on. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Lord. And we're totally believing that our heart always as a church has been that we would be able to, hear from the Holy Spirit and about where the need is. And we're so thankful for that small seed of a beginning now, because, man, how many know in another 2 years when we're celebrating our birthday what the stories will be out of a team like that as it continues to grow, as we continue to create impact? We've always been that way focused as a church. And, through that 32-year foundation, like I said, we are now in a position as a church as a whole where we are able to release $20 million into the community every year of community impact through various programs. And one of our main ones is the community kitchens that run in Auckland. And I'm totally believing that this small seed of starting our street care team will turn into a community kitchen one day where we can feed people in the city, where we can bring them into a Christ-centered environment to love on them and, to introduce them to Jesus. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I don't know about you, but that story refreshed me this morning. And, just as we start to bring it to a close this morning, recently I was having a discussion at our Alpha course, which we've been running this term, which has been going so well and such an amazing place to discover faith and talk about big questions in life. And we're having a bit of a discussion, and we sort of talked about this question, which is, bear with me, it's a strange question to bring up in church, but the question was, if we got to the end of our lives and we discovered that God wasn't real, what would you think? And man, that was an amazing discussion around that. We chatted about it, we threw it around, we asked questions, that sort of stuff. But the consensus by the end of it was, if we get to the end of this life and God wasn't real, well, if we are right and he is real, then we gain everything, amen? We gain everything that has been promised. But if we get to the end of our lives and we discover for some strange reason he isn't real, then we actually lose nothing. And what I mean by that is purely that the very moral code and teachings of Jesus himself are so good, are so powerful, are so life-giving, are so generous, are so honoring of others, that, man, I just think that's such a great way to live your life. But obviously, as a church, as followers of Jesus, as believers in his word, we don't just do these things because they sound good or they look good, but purely because Jesus, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And we will continue to build his church based on his word, on the knowledge that he is true and he is leading us. And, you know, it is in this word that we find the moral code for how to live a Christian life. And that is really where our values today have been based out of as we continue to build his church here on earth. So I'm going to summarize us again this morning. The four values: we magnify Jesus, we prioritize people, we choose excellence, and we activate generosity. And an easy way to keep that in your mind is quite handy. It creates the acronym JPEG, Jesus, People, Excellence, and Generosity. So you can keep that one tucked away. It helps me remember it a lot, that's for sure. But, you know, I thank God that he is planting us in this land with all his heart and soul. And my encouragement to us today as a church, as we reflect on 2 years, but as we look forward to the best that is yet to come, that as we continue to build, we're going to do our best to implement these values. You know, we aren't always perfect, but when we have Jesus in front of us and we can follow him, then we're in for good days. Amen, church. Who's with me? Yeah, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.